Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's let me get my eyes off him. Wait. Ah! All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are Lord. I thank you for your presence and your glory that's in this place now. And I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've anointed me to preach the gospel. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening up your people's eyes to understanding so that they can understand the word in order to apply the word in their lives and bear the fruit of the word. I thank you, Jesus. We're excited about you, Jesus, and what you've done for us, that your will be done right now in our midst. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And the title of my message today is Empowered to Reign. Empowered to Reign. And let's go in our Bibles to Romans 5:17. And let's stand up for the reading of the word. Getting some good exercise. And it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Wow, isn't that wonderful? We've been given the gift of righteousness so that we can reign. And it would be a tragedy to have this royal position that's been given to us and we not walk in it. I thought of a old movie I had seen once about, it was a little boy, he was a royal boy, but somehow he got away from the kingdom. He got outside of the palace, and once he got out, no one knew who he was. And then the peasants, they put him on just regular clothes, and there he was lost. Can you imagine what's like? He was supposed to be in the palace, having all the food and the riches of the palace. Instead, he was outside living like the commoners until they eventually rescued him. Well, you know what? It's sort of like what happened to us. Jesus came to rescue us. See, God created man in his own image. Genesis 1, it talks about that. And he created man to reign, to dominate, to have dominion in the earth. And of course, in Genesis 3, Satan came along. He came with sin and he came with the curse. And he caused man to lose his ability to reign. Man lost his power, lost his position of royalty, and he became a slave to the devil and the curse. Because, see, with Satan, sin came, the curse. But God had a plan. Wow, the good news of the gospel. That's why we come to church, to hear the good news of the gospel. Hebrews 2, let's look at what it says in Hebrews 2, starting at verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, lest thou visited him? And sometimes you ought to just look in the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, what manner of man or woman am I? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Can you imagine that? God put all things under our feet. It is his will, it is his plan for his creation to rule and to reign in the earth, to dominate. And of course, when man lost that, that was a sad day. But Jesus Christ came to restore the power back that we had lost. That's the good news of the gospel. You see, when man fell in the garden, he was sort of like a caterpillar. You know what a caterpillar is. That's that little creepy worm that crawls around on the ground. And what do people do? They step on him. They squish him. You don't have to worry about Pastor. He doesn't like bugs or nothing. But because a caterpillar doesn't really have any power, and he's low, he's crawling on the ground. And that's what Satan did to us. He could just walk on us with sin, all of the weapons that he uses. But now 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, God's plan of salvation was that we become born again. And when you become born again, you're like that butterfly. See that caterpillar that was once crawling around on the ground turns into a butterfly, and he takes wings, and then he can fly. Whoo! He can fly. Isn't that amazing? And I was thinking about, too, like a hot air balloon. If you've ever seen how they have this big thing, it's just laid out flat on the ground, flat. And when you look at it, you can't tell the potential that's in that hot air balloon by looking at it, can you? When it's laid out on the ground. But I tell you what, when they began to pump that hot air into it, and that balloon, it begins to fill up. And see, its potential all along was to rise up and soar like that caterpillar. And the potential of the caterpillar is to rise up and soar. And so that hot air balloon, when they get it filled up, ooh, it can soar very high. You can watch it go up, 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 up. And see, when we got born again, see, Pastor's been talking to us about your spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. And I'm saying, when you became a new creature, it's like you took on your wings. Your potential now is to be able to fly, to soar high into the sky, and nothing be able to stop you. And let me say this, the new birth is what qualifies you to reign in life. Yes. Only the new birth. Because when some people hear reigning, because all of the lies that the enemy has spoken into their souls, that, oh, you know where you came from. You know what kind of past you came out of. Your mama didn't want you, your daddy didn't want you. And you ain't no good, you'll never amount to nothing. You know, all of the lies that the enemy will speak into our minds, he will make us think we don't qualify to reign. And that becomes a terrible tragedy. A royal person out eating crumbs off the ground. Think about it. When the enemy comes with his weapons and of sin, a condemnation, fear, sickness, disease, all of the stuff, it's a terrible tragedy when we don't know what's inside of our spiritual DNA. The moment you became born again, and Jesus came saying, every man must be born again. everybody must be born again. And it's a free gift. And when we're born again, we become new creatures. And he places inside of us the power and the authority to reign in this life. Now, you know, some Christians used to not know that. And they used to say, oh, when we get to heaven, I'm going to put on my robe. And I'm going to shout all over the place. And I'm going to reign. Well, God don't need you reigning in heaven. He's there. He needs us reigning here in the earth where his enemy is. See, when you go up like a hot air balloon, people all around you will be able to see it. People who are not saved, people who are not born again, they will be able to see your majesty, your beauty. And they'll come to you and they say, hey, tell me about that. And you'll be able to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God wants us to represent Jesus in the earth. A lot of lost people out there waiting for us to rise up and represent the true Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can become a butterfly, no longer be the devil's caterpillar. So now, all right, I know some of y'all waiting for a story, so let me give you a story about how you reign. Yeah, here's a good one. When our youngest son was in college out in Guthrie, Oklahoma, he called me one night. It was late. It was like 2 a.m. And he said, Mom, they say a tornado is coming our way. And, you know, I'm half asleep, so I'm thinking, maybe I'll pray later. But he told me the students, they had called him and told him they had already taken cover on the campus. He looked out the window and saw his neighbors. There was an older couple living next to him. And they lived in them little white frame houses. Y'all know them little white frame houses? No basement. If a tornado hit that, it would just poof. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, half asleep. Well, maybe I should pray later. But the Holy Ghost, I said, the Holy Ghost is that power. Thank God Jesus sent us back the Holy Ghost to be our helper. He said, I'm going to send you back a helper, and he sent us the Holy Ghost. So even though I was half asleep, the Holy Spirit was able to say, no, you pray right now. And so I said to Joseph, I'm gonna pray now. And let me tell you now, because I had discovered we have authority over tornadoes. Jesus had authority over storms, and we represent him in the earth, so we have authority. And so I had learned, whenever I'd hear a tornado, I would say, I always pray, go back. I'd always say, go back. That's how I had always prayed. But let me tell you something. Don't y'all miss this. Early that morning, 2 a.m., the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, tell it to go up. I had never done that before. I always said, go back, go back. But this time he said, go up. And you know why I believe he said? Because he knew that tornado was already, it was so close. It was so close. It was getting ready to wipe out that little town. He had said, go up. And so that's what I said. In the name of Jesus. See, the name of Jesus has been given to us. That's our power of attorney. We have a legal right to use that name. It's not my name. It's not your name. It's the name of Jesus. When we use that name, every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. So I said, in the name of Jesus, go up, go up. And do you know it went up? I turned on the weather channel. And the amazing thing, the weather reporters, they said, those tornadoes, I think it was more than one, went up. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! I tell you, God has given his power to men. But you know, the devil try to convince us, God don't want you to have no power. He wants you to struggle. He wants you, you know, I hear some Christians, they're in error, but they say, God wants you to suffer so you can get you a testimony. They say, you can't really do nothing for God until you go through something. Well, that's ignorance gone to seed. Why would God ever want his children to be defeated and destroyed by the devil? He don't want the devil to touch his children. Think about if you ever have a guard dog and a stranger come up, that dog go what? Growl. He go growl, and then he'll start to bark. Well, that's how God feels about us. See, the Holy Ghost is inside of you. When the devil start getting near you, you need to allow the Holy Ghost begin to growl. He began to warn you if the wrong people are trying to come into your life. I said, if the wrong people are trying to come into your life, if you about to make a major mistake, we have the Holy Ghost who is a helper. Now, what is it that you're not to allow to reign over you? Sin. Some Christians don't know. We've been given authority over sin. I said, we've been given authority. Some people say, well, I just have to sin. I can't help myself. But Romans 6:14 says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Think about that. Some Christians think they have to sin. They think they can't. No, but we've been given authority over sin. Because every sin has a price tag attached to it. I know it may feel good, but if you enter into that thing, it's going to leave some of the curse hanging in you. Sin is not our friend. Jesus said the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Whenever he comes with any of his weapons, he's coming to destroy. He's coming to take something from you. How about fear? 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But when the enemy comes with fear, he's trying to take something from you. He's threatening you. He's bluffing you. Now, notice that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, says, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us what? Power! Power! He's given us power. And James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Fear is from the devil. Oh, yeah. But we have to renew our minds to the word. I was telling my class this morning, I used to be so afraid if it was about four or five people in the room, and if I had to speak, I'd be shaking and trembling. Oh, I'm just scared. I'm just shaking and trembling. But I had to what? Renew my mind to the word. The word says, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power of love. I'm not afraid of you all. Praise God. How about condemnation? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But the devil, he will make us feel, oh, God mad at you. Oh, have you ever had the devil tell you that? You ever had that feeling? Anybody? Yeah. He said, God mad at you. You didn't get up on time to pray. You got angry. You did. He just make you think God is mad at you. And lie of the devil. There's no condemnation. Jesus bore our condemnation on the cross. He bore our guilt on the cross. That's the good news of the gospel. But the enemy, he'll try to attack you with anger. There's some people dominated by anger. And it steals from them. How about a person on the job? They get angry, just quit. Walk away, quit. Then later they thought, what did I do? What did I do? I ain't got no job now. How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to eat? That was the devil's weapon. Anger shall not have dominion over us. We are to have dominion over anger. I know, forget when the Lord, this may be for somebody because he had me to focus on this a little bit. Back when, just back when I was single, I didn't even know I had a problem with anger. But I go to the cafeteria and they would give me a little piece of meat. I'd be like, I get angry. why are you giving me that piece, a little piece of meat? I think to myself, I wouldn't say it to them, but anger would rise up. I go to the bank, they say, let me show you, give me your ID. I think, why they need my ID? I mean, just little things, but still, I didn't know I had a problem with anger, you know? But guess what? The Lord revealed it to me. He gave me a dream. By this time, I'm in college and had my stuff, you know, I carry my pillows, bedding, all this stuff in a Foot Locker. And in the dream, my brother dropped it. Well, there's nothing in there to break. It's just bedding and stuff. And in the dream, I got so angry. And then when I woke up, I was like, what does that mean? Because guess what? I had been telling myself, I thought I was perfect. Right before I had the dream, I looked in the mirror and I looked at myself and I said, I have no sin in my life at all. I am perfect. Yeah, can you believe it? But see, I was bound by a spirit of anger. I didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit knew it, and he showed it to me. And so then what did I have to do? Go to the Word, begin to renew my mind. And then I start to share with some of my relatives. I said, you know what? I'm discovering through the Word, I don't have to get angry. They laughed at me. They didn't think it was possible. But I knew that if the Word said it, it was so. And I tell you, I got delivered from that spirit of anger. Woo! And I tell people, someone could walk up and spit in my face and I wouldn't even be moved by it. I say when you get free. But see, if you're bound and you're on the job and somebody cuts you out, you're going to cuss them right back out. I said, when you bound, but we're not to be bound. We tread upon anger, strife, division. That the enemy sins against your home, your family, your relationship. He sends his weapon to tear your family up. But when you have a revelation that you tread up on those things and you resist those and you don't allow them in your family, wow, you need to learn to identify the devil's weapons. I remember years ago, I preached a message. I said, do you smell a devil? I said, do you smell a devil? You need to learn how to sniff out in the spirit to smell if a devil is trying to come up against you. And then you resist him. See, sickness and disease, that's from the devil. We've been given authority over sickness and disease. All right, here's another story. This is my Western, like John Wayne, you know, those cowboys. Quick draw. The devil had attacked my body some years ago. We had been to church, came home from church. How dare he attack me? We just left church. And so serious symptoms, they were the type of symptoms, gonna have to say, Pastor, take me to the emergency room. But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost had me to remember, wait a minute, you gotta remember who you are. What does the Word say? The Word says, by stripes you were healed. And then I was like, okay, what do I do this time? Because usually the Holy Spirit may tell me to confess the word or whatever, but this time I love this. I love this. Here's what he said. Here's what you say. I said, the Holy Spirit is my helper. He's your helper. You want to look to him. When the enemy attacks you, don't start running and crying. Oh, what you gonna do? Call mama, call Aunt Sue, call Aunt Becky. No, you want to call upon the Holy Ghost. That's the first thing you should do. Lean on him. He has the solution and the answer. So anyway, the Holy Ghost said, here's what you say. Say this to the devil, because it was the devil trying to put that on me. Say, devil, I'm going to count to three. Do we have any Westerns in here? You like Western. Anybody? All right, but you're going to enjoy this story. I said, devil, I'm going to count to three. And by the time I count to three, you better be gone from off my body with your symptoms. So I said, one, two, three. By the time I counted to three, every symptom had left my body. Hallelujah! We've been given authority. And when we use our authority, it gives glory to the Lord. How about addictions? Did y'all know addictions? Those are weapons of the devil. People addicted to drugs, food, or alcohol, or to social media. You know, all kinds of things we can get addicted to. But mine was sugar. And I didn't know I have dominion over addiction. Every born again Christian has dominion over addictions. If it's cigarettes, you can get a revelation, cigarettes under your feet. And so, even if it's approved addiction, how about that? Some Christians have approved addiction. They bound by the need of approval from other people. But it's under your feet. And so anyway, mine was sugar, sweet potato pie. I'd eat one slice. And my body and soul say, eat another slice. Oh, I'm in the neighborhood. I must be in the neighborhood. And then say, eat three slices. Then I'm like, wait a minute. I know I don't need that. So then I thought, okay, let me throw it in the trash. Threw it in the trash. I thought, that'll make me not want to eat if I throw it in the trash. But guess what my body said? Get it out the trash. So I got it out the trash. Then I thought, well, let me put dishwater on it. I won't eat the dishwater. That's when the Lord, he showed me, he said, child, you need help. That's right. You need help. Oh, I needed help. You know, some people need help. They don't know they need help. They don't even know they need help. And it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal to you, like he revealed to me, I needed help. And so then he showed me, go to the Word, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where it says, the Holy Spirit has given us self-control. Self-control in my spirit. So I began to meditate on it, confess that word, meditate on it, till I renewed my mind, and all of a sudden broke that power of addiction from off of me. I have not had a sweet potato pie in years. Woo! And see, the word works the same thing. It doesn't matter what your addiction is. Addiction shall not have dominion over you. No form of addiction shall have dominion over you. And don't let the devil tell you, oh, but you don't know my addiction. Ooh, it's strong. It's bad. Has nothing to do with it. The word of God works against every addiction. Wow. See, now willpower won't work against Satan's weapons. Willpower. Some people try, ooh, and they try. But willpower will not work because Satan's weapons, they are spiritual. Let's look at the scripture in Hosea. Hosea 10, 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. I love it when he breaks up our fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And see, if we've had ground, fallow ground with unrighteousness, he's wanting to break that ground up so he can sow in the seed, so you receive the seeds of righteousness. Receive your gift of righteousness. You see what I mean? Verse 13, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. You see, he said, the lies will cause you to trust in your own way. And an enemy loves to deceive us, to make us trust in ourselves. Pride that makes us think, well, I'm strong. I'm strong and I'm powerful and I'm smart and I'm a genius. And that's all I need to get over in life. But you see, that is a deception. That's a lie of the enemy. When I was, when Pastor and I first got married, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We did work down at a mission shelter. And I never forget how shocked I was when I found out. Pastor told me, one of the men there, he was a lawyer living in the shelter. He was addicted to alcohol, and it caused him to lose his practice. Lost everything he had living in a shelter. Then, by the time we got to Georgia And I was working there in a city. I was a medical social worker. So I had this patient. He was a dialysis patient, came in. And I saw him. It was sad. He had holes in his sweater. And the nurses told me his story. They said that man was a prominent surgeon. Prominent. But he lost his practice. He lost everything. He lost his family because of addiction to alcohol. So it doesn't matter how many degrees a person has, you see? A degree has no power in itself. Should the devil choose to come against you? Like he did that lawyer and that surgeon? That's the right word, because I felt so sorry for them. But I thank God that Jesus, he came to restore power back to us. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. And see, Jesus wants us to represent him well in the earth. He does. See, when you succeed and win in life, you're winning, you're bearing witness of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you win, and Jesus wants you to win in every area of your life. He wants you to win in your family, on your job, in your community. Because he wants you to bear witness of him. If your life is all defeated, and you go out and say, well, yeah, let me tell you about Jesus. And they're going to say, well, what's your Jesus doing for you? But when you can let them see what he's doing for you, because he loves you, and he loves them, and he wants to do the same thing for them, it's a powerful thing. And see, if you are failing in life, and if you're defeated, you're bearing witness for the devil. And here's what my daddy would say this, a Christian should have better sense than to represent the devil. My daddy would say something like that. A Christian should have better sense than to represent the devil. In other words, that the devil, when he gets you in strife and unforgiveness and anger and bitterness and make you be rude and all of that stuff, that's representing the devil. But when you're walking in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, self-control, you to then represent Jesus. And we want to represent him. We don't ever want to represent the devil. And you know what? The good news of the gospel, we don't have to, because he's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We don't have to. See, the enemy, he will attack us. You know, I remember he attacked me with depression when I was in Bible college. And ooh, depression flattens you out. Can't eat, can't sleep. Came through fear. Yeah, some people don't know it. That's a doorway a lot of times into your life, through fear, the fear of death. And the devil came in my room one night. I had a roommate. She and her mother had gone to a mission trip, and they came back, and she brought a lot of that artifacts with her. And I heard that you need to watch what you bring back, because some of those things, if they've been used in idol voodoo worship, it can attract demons. So she brought the thing back, all that stuff in her room, and then she left. At that night, and went across town living with her mother and father. I was in the apartment by myself. And that's that night. And that presence was right near where her room was, coming from that direction. And the devil said, you're going to die. Yeah, he used fear to open the door to that deep, dark depression. But I thank God the Lord was able to come through and deliver me. I remember one time he said to me, say this. He said, say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, rise up in me and set me free. He said, say this, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, rise up in me and set me free. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost, he set me free. Yes, he did. And then, you see, the devil tried to pull you back in Egypt. He will attack you, and if it worked, he's bold enough to try to come back. Let me tell you when he tried to come back again. By this time, I had gotten married, and we were at Fort Stewart, Georgia. Pastor was at NTC. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Some of you, right? And so he way out there in the field in the desert. I couldn't call on him for help. So the devil, he just waited right there. And he said, okay, now she down here in this wilderness place. She done left the land. I had left Tulsa, the land that flowed with milk and honey. He said, she down in the wilderness now. Ooh, I'm going to take her back into Egypt. I'm going to take her back. But I bless the name of Jesus. The Lord had taught me enough through the word, because see, I said, God, show me, how was the devil able to do that to me? How was he able to bring me into that depression? You want to learn from what you go through. And he showed me. So that time when the devil came back against me with the same evil presence trying to pull me into, I was able to overcome it. I was able to resist him. In other words, I was able to send his saddle home. Send it home. Because Jesus has redeemed my life from depression. So how do you prepare to reign? You have to learn how to reign over your thoughts. Over your thoughts. See, a lot of times we think the thoughts, we're thinking our thoughts, but they're not. They're demonic thoughts. And you'll never rule in life until you learn to reign over your thoughts. And we've been given authority to do that. Yes. Let me just turn it right quick. 2 Corinthians 10. It tells you how. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you see that? You see, we have to learn. The only way you can learn to identify what the thoughts are, whether they're demonic or whether they're from God, is through the word of God. And so that means we're to get filled with the word. Our confession is that people be standing in line waiting to get in church. Why? To hear the word. Because the purpose of the word, we get a revelation of the purpose of the word. In other words, this is the will, the New Testament, is the will, legal will that Jesus left for us, that he paid for it with his blood, and it legally belongs to us, everything that he said in here. And so that's why we come to church, to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, If we've been bound by unrighteousness, then we come to church and we hear, wait a minute, you've been given a free gift of righteousness, and you began to meditate on that. See, you hear that one time, Romans 5:17, where I said he's given us the gift of righteousness, the first scripture we read. Well, if you don't go home and begin to meditate on that and confess that and renew your mind to that, it'll just fly right away. But when we renew our mind to the word, then we will be able to identify, where is this thought coming from? And cast it down. We'll start to be alert. When a thought comes, wait a minute, where is that thought coming from? Where is that thought coming? Is it a negative thought? Is it a fear-filled thought? Is it a thought, a negative thought against somebody else? If so, you cast that down. You have to ask yourself, does that thought line up with the word of God? And if it doesn't, you cast it down. That's the warfare. The enemy is in the earth. He came in the Garden of Eden, but he's still here. He wants Christians to think he's not here, but he's still here. So every day we get up, we put on our armor, our breastplate of righteousness. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we have to use it. We have to speak that word. We have to confess that word in order to reign. If you ever read about kings, you know, back in the day, didn't they reign through their words? They reign through their words. That's how we reign, through our words. But first of all, we have to get an agreement that God has empowered us to reign. And so we're to be filled with the word. That's why we come to church, to be filled with the word. So we're like the hot air balloon, ready to soar to greater heights. And God will show us greater dreams for our lives. See, God is wanting to dream big through every one of you. He's wanting to dream big. But you know what the devil said? He said, all right, it's too late now. No more dreams for you, or you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you know where you came from, you ain't no good, God don't want to use you. He's lying to you. You're qualified by the new birth, not through your performance. You're qualified to reign. All he's waiting for you to do is step up and say, yes, sir, Lord, I'm ready. And of course, to be filled with the Spirit, that's how you reign too. One last scripture, then I'll be through. Let me run. Acts 1:8. And it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. God has never called us to witness for him in our own flesh and our own strength. But when we yield to his power, see, Christ is in us, the hope of glory, then we'll be able to represent him in the earth. And that's a powerful thing when we walk and fulfill his true purpose for us. And his true purpose is for us to rule and reign in this life over every situation, over every circumstance. Wow. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I told them in the first service that if they hadn't been filled, come to my class. I was going to be talking about it. And so the Lord was able to fill a person who came and wanted to receive. And so also we'll give you an opportunity, if you have not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, receiving your heavenly language, speaking in other tongues, then we'll give you opportunity at the end of the service as well to receive that power.